Well, we're so excited to be here this evening. Language study is an interesting thing. You make a lot of mistakes along the way. And if you're not making mistakes, then you're probably not studying language. That's part of it. I was trying to teach a group of kids. I was teaching along the subject of the fall of man, Adam's sin, and I was talking about how that God had dealt with Adam and Eve after their sin, after their fall, and then I intended to say that God loved Adam and Eve. What I said was God murdered Adam and Eve. So these things happen. Of course, the kids got quite a kick out of that, and they understood what I intended to say. And I, as soon as I said it, I knew what I did, and was able to make some corrections. But do pray for us as we go about the work in Siberia. One thing you can pray about for us is when I go back to Russia. I really need to buy a new car, or not a brand new car, but some type of a new car. We're outgrowing ours. And so please pray for us. We'd like to get a van when we get back. We have some folks, some elderly people that live in the village, and they would love to come to the services in the city from time to time, and we just can't because there's no room in our car. So pray for us about that. We really need to upgrade our vehicle once we get back into Russia. Let's begin this evening in the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter, and chapter 2. We'll also be going over to the book of Genesis, and then also be ready to turn to the book of Hebrews. So 2 Peter, Genesis, and Hebrew. I have, in my personal studies, I've been studying a great deal this on the subject of great men of the Bible, but looking specifically for missionary-type applications in their lives, missionary and evangelism applications in their lives. So that said, I wanted to take a few moments and talk about the life of Noah. And there's some things in his life that we can see that apply to missions and evangelism. A typical study of missions begins with a study of the book of Acts and a study of the life of Paul. The book of Acts, of course, being the beginning of the New Testament church, and the Apostle Paul being the great missionary that he was. And so we study, and a study like that kind of serves as a foundation of our understanding of missions, and it's good, and it's a good study to do. But you know, the Bible is a missionary book. And so with that said, we can go anywhere in the Bible and we can find things that's pointing toward missions, that's pointing toward evangelism. And so we're going to look at the life of Noah and find some things that apply to us as missionary, that applies to us as evangelists. And we're all called to be an evangelist, right? Amen. So let's look here. 2 Peter chapter 2, looking at verse 5, we read, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." God calls, we see in this verse, that God calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. Now, the question, as we look at that, two questions come to my mind. First, what did he preach? Secondly, what was the results of his preaching? What did he preach and what was the results of his preaching? We see that he was a preacher of righteousness. Now, it's an interesting thing. You don't find any sermons that he preached written in the Word of God, just that he was a preacher of righteousness. As a matter of fact, as you study the first portion of Scripture, you have from the creation to the time of Noah, to the flood of the flood that was in Noah's day, you have about 2,000 years of history, and it's only covered in just a few short chapters of the Bible. And so there's a lot going on in that time period that we just don't know because it's not recorded. God didn't give us that. But we see that he was a preacher of righteousness. Now, there is only one way to become righteous in the sight of God. Salvation has never changed, nor will it ever change. Salvation has always been by the blood of Jesus Christ, plus nothing. It has never changed. The message of salvation has never changed. Those folks living in the Old Testament, they were placing their faith in the fact that Messiah would someday come. We today, if you're saved, if you're sitting here tonight and you're a saved individual, that's because you placed your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ who did come. And so salvation has never changed one iota. It has never changed. And so we ask the question, what did he preach? Well, the Bible tells us he was a preacher of righteousness. We know that there's only one way to become righteous in the sight of God. What did he preach? Well, he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. He was a preacher of righteousness. We can look at, while we don't have a recorded message that he preached, we can, however, look at the context of the passages dealing with him, and the context being God's judgment upon sin, the flood. We can look at that. We can also look at his life. We can also look at his life, because what a person preaches is what he lives. So a preacher or a teacher does not just write their lessons; they live those lessons. They live their message. They live what they're preaching. And so we can look at his life and see how did he live, and from that we could say how we could come to an understanding of what he preached. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. When we look at the passage, let's go over to Genesis now. Genesis in chapter 6. Genesis in chapter 6. As we look at the passage, we see God's judgment upon sin. There are some things that you can find in the life of Noah. There are some things you can find in the life of Noah that oftentimes is missing from a lot of this modern type evangelism. There's a lot of things found in his life that is missing from this modern era, this modern type evangelism going on today. And so let's look at some of those things that we can find in his life that is missing from modern evangelism. We see God's judgment on sin. Oh, a lot of people don't like to preach on God's judgment on sin today. But we see that here in the passage. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And now notice as I read this, notice there's a contrast between these two verses. Now let's read. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things, and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. The judgment of God on sin. The judgment of God on sin. Now watch the contrast, the following verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, God is a God that is angry over the sins of man, but he's also a God that desires to show grace upon man. You see a contrast here between the wicked and Noah, godly Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so as we look at this passage, immediately as you think of Noah and the flood, one of the first words that comes into my mind is judgment. It's interesting. Everybody's afraid of the book of Revelations, but everybody loves the book of Genesis. The truth of the matter is, it ought to be the opposite. You see, the book of Revelation says, God wins, we love God, we win. The book of Genesis talks about sin coming into the world. You have the first mention of Satan coming in and tempting man, and the judgment, the hand of God's, the judgment hand of God is upon man. So we should fear the book of Genesis and get excited over the book of Revelation, but we do the opposite. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. You see, the judgment of God upon sin, first of all. And man today, this modern type of feel-good kind of religion does not like to preach and teach on the judgment of God. God's anger over sin and His mercy showed toward the faithful. You see those two ideas here in verses 7 and 8. But you know, God, you also see God's provision for salvation. And we know that to be the ark, but that ark was just a foreshadow, was a picture of Christ. True salvation is found in Christ. Let's jump over Hebrews, chapter 11. And we're coming back to Genesis, so you might hold your finger there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, note that word faith, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. There's a provision for salvation. But long before God ever commanded him to build the ark, he was trusting in the coming Messiah. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But there was a provision for salvation. The provision for salvation, the ark was a picture of Christ. The provision for salvation has and will always be a Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has and will always be Jesus Christ. The ark just simply was a picture of that. It looked forward to His coming. We see God's provision for salvation in His life and in His testimony. We see faith in His life and His testimony. Look here, twice in this verse, we read the first part: by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. By faith. And then again, at the end of the verse, we read again, which is by faith. As you study the life of Noah, you see the judgment of God upon sinful man, but you also see the faith of Noah. It's highlighted, the faith of Noah is highlighted in his life. As you study this, you see the faith of Noah. Noah had faith in God's plan to save him. You see the faith of Noah. Oftentimes that's missing from a lot of this modern type evangelism. True, genuine, biblical faith. They talk about an emotion. They talk about some other thing, a rite, a ritual. They talk about everything else but true biblical faith. One of the difficulties we have in the village is a lot of the people that we meet are Russian Orthodox. And the problem with Russian Orthodox is they've taken things like the Bible and they've turned them into an idol. They've taken things like the Holy Cross, and they turned that into an idol. and so that people, they don't worship the God of the Bible. They worship the leather and the ink and the thing that the Bible is printed on. Or they'll worship some other church icon and so on and so forth. And that's not salvation. No, it's by faith, through grace, and not of works. It's by faith, by faith. We see that emphasized in the life of Noah, by faith. We also see the blood. Now, class, when Noah came off the ark, what was the first thing he did? He sacrificed, yes. He built an altar, and he brought blood, by blood. Salvation, and again, that's a type and a picture is looking forward. It's evidence of his faith in the coming Messiah when we read that. Now, God's plan of salvation has never changed. The same faith that saved Noah, the same thing that he was trusting in all those many years ago, is the same faith that saves you and I today. It's never changed. It's never changed. God's plan of salvation never changes. Now, there are some things in the Old Testament. There are some things that we really don't know about this time period. How much that God? I think God revealed a lot to people of that time period. But we don't know how much that He revealed, how much. But we know that He did reveal some things to them because we see people who are saved during that time. For example, God revealed things to men of that time period that's not specifically written in the Word of God. Let me give you four instances. Let's look over at Genesis chapter 5. You read the account of Enoch and his son Methuselah. Enoch, Genesis chapter 5. We read, and what's interesting is that Enoch did not begin walking with God. You read about Enoch and think, oh, Enoch walked with God. But do you realize that Enoch did not walk with God until after his son Methuselah was born? Let me read it to you here. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch, verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. Now, what is it that would have caused Enoch to begin walking with God after he begot Methuselah? As you study this and you think about it, okay, so apparently before that time he did not walk with God. Before that time he did not walk with God. It says after he begot Methuselah. So something happened to cause him to walk with God. Well, people who are much smarter than I, who have studied these ancient languages and have studied Hebrew, will tell you that the name Methuselah carries with it the idea of coming judgment. And more than that, it has the idea of coming judgment, but it has the idea of after me. Literally is not good English, but literally it means after me, judgment. To put it in good English, it means when I die, there will be judgment. And then as you study the Bible, you find out, as you look at the dates, and you find out that the year the flood came, Methuselah died. How Enoch came to understand that, we don't know. But apparently, somehow, it would appear that God revealed something to him. It would appear that God revealed something to him. You have 2,000 years of history that's recorded in just a few verses of the Bible, or a few chapters of the Bible, and everything that God did during that time is not recorded. In the same way that everything that Jesus did in his life is not recorded in the New Testament. There's a lot that we just don't know about that time period. But we do know this, salvation doesn't change. And so for men like Enoch, for men like Noah, to be considered righteous and to walk with God, to be reconciled unto God, then they would have had to have known something about the coming Messiah. God somehow revealed to them something about the necessity of blood for the remission of sin. Salvation doesn't change. And so we see the necessity of blood. We see that he came off of the altar, came off of the ark, and he offered up a sacrifice unto God, pointing toward the, so that we would know that he had the, needed the necessity of blood. We also see repentance in his life. Now, this is interesting. We see repentance and reconciliation. Because when we read the Bible, we find out that the Bible says, God specifically, that he walked with God. That he walked with God. Now, he was not born walking with God. He was born into sin, just like every man has been born into sin because of the sin of Adam. He was born rebellious unto God, just like you and I were, just like Cain and Abel were. Both Cain and Abel needed to offer a sacrifice. They were both sinners. Just one had enough sense to do it in accordance to what God had commanded. The other didn't. We have him born into sin, but somewhere in his life he began to walk after God. Somewhere in his life there was a change. He was living in rebellion just like everybody else, but now he quit living in rebellion unto his Creator and began to live and began to walk after God. And so we see that there was a repentance that took place in his life. We see that reconciliation took place in his life. You know, a lot of people want to go to heaven. How many people want to be reconciled unto God? Big difference in the question. And so we see these things in his life. And oftentimes they're missing from a lot of evangelism today. And you say, what did he preach? Well, he was a preacher of righteousness. There's only one way to become righteous unto God, and that's through salvation, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't think his message was much different than our message today. What did he preach? Then we asked a second question. We asked, what was the result of his preaching? Eight people got on the ark. Eight people got on the ark. So Noah, his wife, and his three sons, and their wives, they got on the ark. You know, today, a lot of people would look at that and say, boy, that was kind of an unsuccessful ministry. Only eight people got on the ark. But you know, had those eight people not got on the ark, history would be very different, would it not? What if just one of his three sons said, no, I'm not going to do that, you know, and just rejected his message altogether? There would be a whole continent of people that would not exist today. The sons come off the ark and they begin to go their own ways, and cultures were developed and cities were developed and so on and so forth. What if they didn't get on the ark? Well, history would be very different than it is. Sometimes, and I'll close with this, sometimes we don't see the results that we're having in the lives of people. Sunday school teachers, listen to me. Sometimes we don't see the results that we're having in the lives of people right now. Sometimes it's not until years later. Sometimes it's not until a whole generation goes by that all of a sudden we begin to see the results of our ministry. Sometimes you think about some of these missionaries of old who blazed a trail in some foreign country. And oftentimes they really didn't have a lot of people saved, but they paved the way for others to come in, other missionaries to come in after them and begin to build on what they started. Sometimes we don't see the results of our labors, of our fruits right now today. But that's not our job. Our job is to be faithful to do what God has called us to do, because it's for His honor and glory that we do everything. And if He's called us to do something, we're to faithfully serve God in the manner that He's called us to do. How many times have you heard a story that goes something like this? A certain person was called to start a church in a city or in a town or wherever. And it wasn't going the way he thought it was. He wasn't getting the numbers that he thought he should get. And so instead of just being faithful like Noah, instead of just being faithful and continuing to preach and do what God had called him to do, he compromises and he brings in ungodliness into the church and he builds a crowd, but it's not done in the honor. It no longer glorifies God. And it's happening all over the world. It's not just an American problem. It's happening all over the world. We need some folks who will just be consistent, will be faithful to do what God has called them to do. And may we all seek to be like Noah in these last days. May we preach salvation by faith through the blood of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. May we faithfully fulfill God's plan for our lives. May we live our lives to glorify Him. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed, and I'll ask you to pass.